Everyone in the Missouri Senate, please rise for the prayer by our chaplain, the Reverend Carl Gock, to be followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we come before you in this new year with our prayers for a successful new session as we deal with the needs within our state. We come grateful to serve and glad to be together once again. We come prepared with many bills already pre-filed and ready for their progression for our consideration. We come to pray that we will deal with each bill with serious discernment, how each will contribute to moving Missouri forward in a sluggish economy and benefit our people. So abide with us this day and let your spirit direct our thoughts and actions during 2012. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Secretary, I'm sorry, Senator from the 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Photographers from KTVI-TV, Missouri News Horizon, Jefferson City News Tribune, ABC 17, and KMIZ, and KLOR 10 have been given permission to take pictures in the chamber today, and the Senate photographer has been given permission to video in the Senate chamber and Senate gallery.
Duly noted, Senator from 23rd.
Mr. President, would you inquire the Secretary if there are messages from the Secretary of State? And if so, please have them read.
Affirmative. Read the messages from the Secretary of State.
To the Honorable Senate of the 96th General Assembly, Second Regular Session of the State of Missouri, in compliance with Section 115.525 Revised Statutes of Missouri, I have the honor to lay before you herewith a list of the names of the members of the Senate for the 96th General Assembly, Second Regular Session of the State of Missouri. Elected at the November 4, 2008 general election, the November 2, 2010 general election, and the February 22 special election. In testimony whereof, I hereunto set my hand and affix the official seal of my office this 4th day of January, 2012. Robin Carnahan, Secretary of State.
We cannot even hear the reader. Please hold it down.
Missouri State Senators elected November 4, 2008. First District, James W. Lemke. Third, Kevin Engler. Fifth, Robin Wright Jones. Seventh, Jane Cunningham. Ninth, elected at special election held on February 22, 2011, Shalon Kiki Curls. 11th, Victor Callahan. 13th, Timothy P. Green. 15th, Eric S. Schmidt. 17th, Luana Ridgway. 19th, Kurt U. Schaefer. 21st, William H. Bill Stouffer. 23rd, Tom Dempsey. 25th, Robert N. Mayer. 27th, Jason G. Crowell. 29th, Jack A. L. Goodman. 31st, David Pierce. 33rd, Chuck Pergeson. Missouri State Senators elected November 2, 2010. 2nd District, Scott T. Roop. 4th District, Joseph P. Keveney. 6th District, Mike Kehoe. 8th, Will Kraus. 10th, Jolie L. Justice. 12th, Brad Lager. 14th, Marie Chappelle Nadal. 16th, Dan W. Brown. 18th, Brian Munslinger. 20th, Jay Wasson. 22nd, Ryan G. McKenna. 24th, John T. Lamping. 26th, Brian Nieves. 28th, Michael L. Parson. 30th, Bob Dixon. 32nd, Ronald F. Ron Richard. 34th, Rob Schaff.
Secretary, call the roll of senators.
Senators Brown, Callahan, Chappelle Nadal, Crowell, Cunningham, Curls, Dempsey, Dixon, Engler, Goodman, Green, Justice, Keveney, Kehoe, Kraus, Lager, Lamping, Lemke, Mayer, McKenna, Munslinger, Nieves, Parson, Pierce, Ferguson, Richard, Ridgway, Roop, Schaff, Schaefer, Schmidt, Stouffer, Wasson, Wright-Jones.
Senator from the 7th. A quorum is present. The senator from Cole. A quorum is present, and I hereby declare the second regular session of the 96th General Assembly to be convened. The Senate is in business. Senator from the 23rd, sir.
Mr. President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of resolutions, and I have a resolution.
Send it forward. Read the resolution.
Senate Resolution 1, offered by Senator Dempsey. Be it resolved by the Senate of the 96th General Assembly of Missouri, second regular session, that the rules adopted by the 96th General Assembly of the State of Missouri, first regular session, as amended, insofar as they are applicable, be adopted as the rules for the control of the deliberations of the Senate of the 96th General Assembly, second regular session.
Senator, move the adoption.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move for the adoption.
You've heard the motion. Does any senator wish to be heard? Hearing none, the senator is recognized to close.
I close.
The senator renews his motion on adoption of the resolution. As many as are of the opinion that shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is adopted. Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a resolution.
Send it forward. Read the resolution.
Senate Resolution Number 2, offered by Senator Dempsey. Be it resolved by the Senate that the Secretary of the Senate inform the House of Representatives that the Senate of the second regular session of the 96th General Assembly is duly convened and is now in session and ready for consideration of business.
Mr. President, I move for the adoption.
You heard the motion. Does any senator wish to be heard? Seeing none, the senator is recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator renews his motion on adoption of the resolution. As many as are of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those to the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution is adopted. It is now my pleasure to turn the dais over to and to introduce the President Pro Tem of the Missouri Senate, Senator Robert Mayer.
Thank you. Thank you. Lieutenant Governor Kinder, members of the Missouri Senate, our families, friends, and fellow Missourians, we've returned here today to begin the second regular session of the 96th General Assembly with many similar challenges facing us today as we did 1 year ago. For nine of us, this is our final session due to term limits. The senator from the St. Francis, the senator from the 11th, the senator from the 13th, the senator from Clay, the senator from Stoddard, the senator from Cape Girardeau, the senator from Lawrence, and the senator from Howell. It has been an honor and a privilege to serve with each of you. For eight others, it's a re-election year. Given these factors, some predict that not much will be accomplished. I say the time for speculation is over. Rather, we must act and do so swiftly to pass a balanced budget without a tax increase for the people of Missouri and to help put Missourians back to work in this stagnant and weak economy. Missouri's taxpayers and workforce deserve nothing less. One of our toughest challenges this year will again be crafting a state budget that spends no more than the state takes in through revenue collections. As we weather the biggest economic recession since the Great Depression, Missouri is one of a few states in good financial condition, In fact, we are one of only 7 states with a AAA bond rating. That's because over the past 3 years, we've been prudent and made tough fiscal decisions. Our current budget lives within the taxpayers' means. It funds the critical functions of government, and it protects our most vulnerable and makes education funding a priority. To date, our state's revenue is showing signs of growth, but not much. Unfortunately, slow revenue growth, increased mandatory expenses in programs like Medicaid, and the end of more than $400 million in one-time federal stabilization dollars means we could be forced to make further reductions in the upcoming budget for fiscal year 2013. In 2010, I led the appropriations process in order to reduce spending by more than $500 million to make sure that the state lived within its means. The Senate, in cooperation with the House, took the reins after the governor presented an unbalanced budget and came to us mid-session to share the full and dismal financial reality our state faced. We made tough decisions, and we will be prepared to make tough decisions again. However, we first need a governor that will present an honest budget forecast, no matter how unpopular, and then recommend a budget that is balanced. That includes not basing his balanced budget on special legislation that must pass. To do so, he must embrace common sense solutions such as those presented by the Missouri Working Group on Sentencing and Corrections. This unprecedented bipartisan and interbranch collaboration has examined the data and made recommendations on how to give taxpayers a better public safety return on their corrections dollars while keeping Missouri safe. Missouri's prison population more than doubled between 1990 and 2005, with a total number of inmates hovering at about 30,000 today. And more alarming is that during that same period, spending on corrections increased by 249%. Along with other state leaders, I helped establish this working group led by the senators from the 29th and 10th. Would they please stand and be recognized? The senators from the 29th and 10th. Thank you for your work. They have found that we can improve public safety and lower the burden on taxpayers by adopting proven, evidence-based approaches to reduce recidivism and hold offenders accountable. I expect our chamber to pass legislation based on this working group's recommendations that will provide Missouri with a better public safety return on its investment in corrections. In the same vein, we will also visit the recommendations senators made last year as part of our Rebooting Government initiative. In this ongoing budget crisis, we must continually examine ways to reduce the size and scope of state government so taxpayers can afford to sustain it. I understand, we understand, and now the governor must understand, it is ideas like these that we must consider in order to continue to make education funding a priority. Education will continue to be a priority for us. In the current fiscal year that began July 1st, we demonstrated our commitment to education by voting to maintain the school funding formula at its current level, voting to lessen a 7% cut to higher education proposed by the governor by adopting a $12 million increase for Missouri's 2- and 4-year colleges and universities, and voting to increase Missouri's K-12 school busing line item by $10 million that the governor is currently withholding. By lessening that 7% cut, we allowed our colleges and universities to find and pass on real savings to out-of-pocket expenses students would have incurred. We're hoping the governor will release the K-12 transportation funding to help prevent local schools from having to raid funding for our classrooms or other dollars directed to education. Plus, we voted to restore funding to Access Missouri scholarships to help Missouri students attend the in-state public or private college or university of their choice. We will continue to make education a priority in funding and resources in the 2012 legislative session. This year, we'll also continue our efforts to help put Missourians back to work in good-paying jobs with benefits. A few years ago, we eliminated the corporate franchise tax for 3 out of every 4 Missouri businesses. You'll recall, last session, we were successful in setting in motion a phase-out of this unfair double taxation for all Missouri businesses. We said this would encourage investment by large corporations in Missouri, and it has. Since its passage, two major auto manufacturing companies have announced plans to invest a total of nearly $1.5 billion, creating 3,260 new jobs. Rather than growing government through higher taxes, we've allowed corporations to invest their money in growing their businesses and hiring new employees. But our work's not done. While the number of unemployed Missourians has decreased, it's still too high. As of November, 8.2%, or more than 250,000 Missourians, are still out of work. As we talk about creating jobs, it's important to understand we're not in a vacuum. We must compete nationally and even globally in order to have new companies locate here and existing companies choose to expand their operations here. Our plan in the Senate starts by curbing excessive regulations, restoring balance to the Missouri Human Rights Act, and returning the workers' compensation system as the exclusive remedy for workplace accidents. A measure filed in the Senate would rein in excessive regulations and rules created by state agency boards comprised of unelected bureaucrats. Few things can bring private sector growth to a halt more quickly than overly contrived red tape. That's why we must tear down the walls that are economic barriers to all businesses in Missouri. Oversight and accountability of these regulations would come through several key goals, including creating 10-year sunsets for new and existing rules and regulations, preventing obsolete, duplicative, or conflicting rules, consideration of eliminating unnecessary paperwork, and ensuring rules are narrowly tailored while still providing adequate protection of the public. We will revisit legislation the governor vetoed that would improve employers' ability to hire and retain quality workers by ending lawsuit abuses. The bill would bring state law in line with federal human rights laws, allowing employers to invest more in jobs rather than spending money on lawsuit abuses and their increased attorney fees. We'll also work to restore protections for individual employees from personal lawsuits for honest accidents at work. Missouri employees and employers currently face higher risk due to a court decision. By abrogating this decision, Missouri employees will no longer be at risk of personal lawsuits stemming from workplace injuries and will no longer have to seek insurance to protect against lawsuits if an accident were to occur. We all realize one of the keys to our successes when it comes to economic development is directly tied to the development of our workforce. If we fail to have a prepared, highly educated, and well-trained workforce, we'll not be able to attract new businesses to locate here, especially those that demand employees with specialty degrees or skill sets. We must also address the revolving door of dropouts and failed policies in our state's two largest school districts, St. Louis and Kansas City. Both have a decades-old cycle of failing their students. We must look to promote solutions to end this vicious cycle by bringing these school districts up to par so that every Missouri student has an equal opportunity for a world-class education. We'll also work to make sure Missourians are better represented when it comes to the select few who ultimately interview and choose the appellate judges who serve the people of our state. There has to be more transparency and accountability than what exists in the current process. Last year, we took a step to enhance the accountability of how Missouri's tax dollars are spent. The work of a new committee began, and its members were tasked with examining how state departments were spending taxpayer dollars. When I created this committee last year, I could not have envisioned how important it would be in determining the state's role in failed economic development projects in Missouri communities. The senator from the first and his colleagues continue to delve into the details of at least two failed projects, MAMTEC and Wi-Fi sensors, and they will not stop until they finish their due diligence in determining whether or not our state economic development department did their due diligence when recommending these ultimately failed projects. This committee will report on how to prevent similar failures from happening to other Missouri communities. We have much to do this year as we each prepare ourselves to be away from our families and communities for the coming 5.5 months. Also prepare yourself to be ready to act and complete these important goals to benefit the people of Missouri. In the Senate, we've enjoyed a very unique cooperation that bridges party lines. At the end of the day, we work together to do what is in the best interest of Missourians. With that foundation, I believe we can accomplish much this year to put Missouri on a successful, long-term, sustainable path for the future. Thank you very much.
You got all you needed. Here you go. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. In accordance with Section 9.141, RSMO, will you please have the Bill of Rights read?
Read the Bill of Rights.
The Bill of Rights, Amendments 1 through 10 of the Constitution. Amendment 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Amendment 2. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Amendment 3. No soldier shall, in time of peace, be quartered in any house without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Amendment 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia when in actual service in time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Amendment 7. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. Amendment 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Amendment 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Amendment 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people.
Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of introduction of guests.
Introduction of guests. The Senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Happy New Year to you. To your left and to my right, there is a very handsome, tall young man, Mr. Damon Alexander Jones. He's my son. He's joining me today as a guest. I'd ask for the body to welcome him in our traditional fashion.
We're delighted to welcome the guest and the son of the Senator from the 5th to the Missouri Senate. Senator from Buchanan.
Mr. President, introduction of special guests. I have to my right and to your left, Teresa Emerson of Parkville and Mary Hill of Liberty, and they're very important constituents, and I would ask them to rise and be...
We're delighted to welcome the guest of the Senator from Buchanan from Platte County. Senator from Stoddard.
Thank you, Mr. President. Introduce a special person. Actually, we have with us today a new addition to our doorman crew. Those guys do a great job throughout the year. They're patient and really serve us well. And we have a new member of that group. It's Roman Patton. Roman is over here to my left, and I'd like the Senate to give him a very warm welcome.
Senator, may the chair inquire of you.
Yes.
Senator, would you want to make another introduction?
Somebody I would. I would. Thank you, Mr. President. I have on my left also with me today my wife, Nancy, who I've been married to for 33 years. And she really didn't want to be recognized today, but I agree with you. I think it would be improper not to recognize her and give her a warm welcome.
Thank you, Senator. We're delighted to welcome Nancy. Further introductions? Senator?
I'm up. I would like to take the opportunity. I have an intern that's joined my staff this year, a young lady who attends Missouri State University. Her grandmother was a member of this august body several years ago, Rachel Trepler. Rachel, would you please stand and let the Senate welcome you?
Senator from the Ninth.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, to my right and to your left, I would like to introduce to the body my new legislative director, Mr. Brandon Gregory. If you could stand up, I would love for the body to make him feel welcome. Clearly, this is his first day of session as well. Thanks.
Further introductions. Senator?
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, Senator, to the order of business of announcements, and I have an announcement.
Proceed.
Mr. President, I plan to recess until 2:30 p.m. At that time, we will read in the pre-filed bills, take new bills and concurrent resolutions, and attend to any other housekeeping business. If any member desires to introduce bills, they may do so, or they may leave them with either myself or the Secretary of the Senate.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements, Senator from Phelps.
Mr. President, to speak on a point of personal privilege, please.
Sure. Senator will be heard on a point of personal privilege.
Mr. President, members of the chamber, on my right, Mr. President, on your left, I'd like to introduce my wife, Kathy. She's been my wife for 41 plus years and my soulmate for life. After session last year, we began a rather challenging unknown journey to us. Kathy was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer. We were quite frightened, as you can imagine. We were unsure how to proceed. We had great doctors, and we were in great need of support of our family, our church, and of friends and people in this chamber, people walking the wall, and people across Missouri and the great United States. We had been through, at this point, surgery, chemotherapy. Radiation was completed December 24th, and that was a great Christmas present for us and our family. And at this time, we're considered to be cancer-free, and we're thankful to God and your prayers for that. Kathy now has more energy than I do. I was put in the role of being homemaker for a while, as well as practicing veterinary medicine, and I told her if she survived my cooking, cancer was not a big threat to her. So I would like to express to everyone, I don't know how to do it as heartfelt as I should. We are very thankful for your many prayers. You don't know how important getting a card and a little letter or line of concern is when you're in your darkest hours, when you're actually suffering through some pretty tough days. So all I can simply say is thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator, for those very fine words. We will keep Kathy in our prayers. Senator from 23rd.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move the Senate stand in recess until 2:30 p.m. this day.
You've heard the motion. As many as our opinion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.